listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, live on a Tuesday. 225 FSR stations we broadcast on across this great nation. Now, you might say, why are we listening? It's easy. If you're a sports bettor, you're listening for the money. If you're a sports fan, you want to know more than your buddies. Vegas is the best way to do that. Now, it can't all be Vegas. You hear those shows. It's like I call them rundown shows. It's like, next up, Townsend State against Missouri. It's like, no, thank you. So we got a Joe. He's my favorite. He's in L.A., Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which people are anticipating the NFL schedule release, we've still got some fallout from the last couple of episodes of The Last Dance on ESPN. What is the Vegas lead here, though, on a Tuesday?
Well, I should say this. The second half of the show, second half of the hour, 6 to 7 Eastern, every weekday, dedicated Last Dance talk. I think I could do a couple hours on it. We'll narrow it down to the last half hour. But the Las Vegas lead to me, a lot of hubbub over what I said yesterday. I said I'm going to make the case that this Andy Dalton signing by Dallas really adds to the chance that I believed was substantial to start with, that not that Dak won't play this year, but this will be the last year the Dak plays with the Cowboys. And I will say this, Jonas, before we go into it formally, one of our associate producer slash research types, he said, you know what's interesting? On Monday, RJ teases that I've got a strong case about Dak's time in Dallas not being as long as some people think. And literally that day, and for weeks and weeks, there's been odds up saying, will Dak play on the franchise tag or will he have a long-term deal? That was the two options. And the odds were 80% or so that he signs a long-term deal. Today, odds are off the board. Is it related? I'm not saying it is, but it's just factually the case.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being the boogeyman from time to time. You know, you scare people away from certain things. But that was the story over the weekend. The Dallas Cowboys do make a move at quarterback, not the signing and long-term contract extension of Dak Prescott, but they bring in Andy Dalton, quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals, three-time Pro Bowler who talked on the Adam Schefter podcast and said he couldn't pass up the opportunity to be a Cowboy.
Which, again, we're going to get into how bad this deal is for Andy Dalton if you're just looking at the money. And that if somehow Dallas had made a, you know, gone deep in their pocket. In fact, let's just do this now because it's so just colors the rationale of Dallas here and how it feels like there's almost a whisper. You know, it's a take this for now and here's what very well could happen. So let's put it into context. Andy Dalton, $3 million, and they say up to $7 million or additional, you know, $4 million of bonuses. Like, it's a Super Bowl is like a big chunk of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, yeah, it could happen, but it's like take a snap in the Super Bowl. So it's like literally the Cowboys, who have not even been to the conference finals, right, for a long time. Has it been 95? I think it has been.
Yeah.
They haven't been in the Final Four in 25 years.
Yeah.
But if you, the backup quarterback, take a snap in the Super Bowl, you will start making it a little bit close to what we thought. Remember, we were guessing Andy Dalton's price, Jonas. We were like between 6 and 8 million.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It felt similar to Marcus Mariota's
exactly.
deal.
Exactly.
And he took far less than that.
And that's the thing. Let's run down some of the premium backups in the league. Mariota, or some say Mariota, 7.5 million. Foles, 8 million. Taysom Hill, almost 9 million a year. Tyrod Taylor, $5 million a year. Now, we can go through a few starters. You got to wonder, are we sure they're better than Andy Dalton? Are we sure Phillip Rivers is better than Andy Dalton? Well, Rivers is $25 million. What do you think of that comparison?
That's a tough one. I would lean towards Phillip Rivers, but I don't think it's that far off.
And I tell you this, if you ever are going to lean towards Rivers, it's for 1 year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And the idea that you're signing a guy potentially you would have for years to come. Andy Dalton's in his early 30s, right? This is a whole different universe to being your almost 40, right? It's just the whole difference. Let's be candid. From what we've really seen from Teddy Bridgewater, he's at $25 million or $24 million. Yeah, I think Bridgewater wins by a hair. But is it much more than a hair?
I mean, I think Andy Dalton's had a much better career than Teddy Bridgewater.
No doubt. But, you know, Joe Namath. I mean, like, if we're looking at today,
yeah.
I would say the thing about what makes Bridgewater complicated is obviously, I think by any account, he was the better quarterback before the injury. Then it was like, okay, maybe he doesn't even play again, to the point of like, hey, he's a pretty good backup, to now the point of, is he a starter? And is he a good starter? All right, that's the big questions. And I get it. If you look at Andy Dalton's stats last year, you can say this guy's barely in the league. He had a bad year. Now, was it a bad year because of what? The real possibilities are that he was injured in a way that no one knows about, which seems unlikely because we haven't heard any of that, that he's gotten old. Except who gets old at 31, you know, in the NFL, especially a quarterback? And then finally, it's the team was so bad that he did the best he could. And if you look at just a year or two before, or even the year before in 2018, when Andy Dalton had a semblance of a weapon with A.J. Green, his stats were pretty good. And I think it's fair to say, and this is going to shock people, I'm R.J. Bell straight out of Vegas with Jonas Knox. If you actually look at Andy Dalton's first 4 years against Dak Prescott's first 4 years, now you might say, but Andy Dalton's old. We're back to the same question. Are you old at 31 years old as a quarterback in the NFL? History says no, you're not. So unless somehow Andy Dalton's particularly old for his age, we can't say his drop-off is being driven by age. So what else could it be other than the circumstances just weren't good for the team? I mean, what could be the other answer to Andy Dalton's drop-off last year in the second half of 18 other than that the Bengals were just that bad and he couldn't overcome it?
It's exactly what it was. They were a bad team, and anything you need to know about Andy Dalton, they went back to him at later in the season because they needed to win games, because it wasn't a sure thing that Zach Taylor was going to be brought back. If they go 0-16 and they were on path to go that way, then who knows what they do with Zach Taylor after the season. So they went back to Andy Dalton to stabilize everything, to win games. They were a bad football team. A.J. Green got hurt before the season at a practice in Dayton and was furious about it. He never came back. They were just a bad football team, and I think Andy Dalton sort of is being punished for what was around him as opposed to what he was capable of and still capable of.
That's a very sharp comment there, Joe. I mean, I agree with everything you just said, and I get it because of the beige water pistol talk from Colin and others. And I don't think Colin was wrong. Meaning, if you're looking for a guy to put a team on his back and bring them to the Super Bowl, Andy Dalton was never your guy. Right. But was Andy Dalton the 12th, 13th best quarterback in the NFL in his height? Yes, he was. So now the question is, what's different between that and now? I'm saying potentially nothing, because if he's not too old, then what is it? Why would you be worse at 31 or whatever than you were at 25? These days, you're not. It's not like Terry Bradshaw got old when he was like 33, which he seemed to. I'm saying today. When's the last time that, you know, Aaron Rodgers is what, 37, 36?
36.
And all of a sudden, and we're just starting to talk about his age?
People forget. You go back to week one of last season, the Bengals had the Seahawks on the ropes in Cincinnati, yep, or in Seattle, rather, which is one of the most difficult places to play. Andy Dalton threw for over 400 yards in that game. Had Cincinnati won that game on the road, and some would argue they should have won that game, then who knows what that does to the rest of their season and what trajectory they go on based on that one game.
So in general, we got as always in life, we have limited sample size. And you've got to figure out what's the most likely. If you're going to fill in the dots, what's the most likely reason? It's my belief that Andy Dalton, especially if he's energized by the new location, because let's be honest, being in Cincinnati all those years, I grew up in Ohio. It's not going to be fun in general. Being with the Bengals isn't going to be fun, right? And here's a guy that in his first 4 years, Dak's played four playoff appearances. First 4 years for Dak, two. Right. You look at the yards per attempt. You look at the completion percentage. If you adjust at all for that, this is a different game, that in the last 5 years, passing's gotten at least a little bit easier, they've had about equal stats. I mean, in the idea that Dak is in another universe, it just is not true.
No.
And Dak had a heck of a year last year. I'm a Dak defender. But the idea that I think Dak at his best is better than Andy Dalton. But here's what I think. Dak at his best in today's Dak, meaning I don't know what it'll be in 5 years. He might be great, but the guy he was last year, extrapolate out one more year, I think he could be the sixth, seventh, eighth best quarterback. That's an optimistic range. Not going to be in the top five, not going to be out of the top 10 if his trend line continues. Now, you got to wonder, some erratic behavior, whatever, but let's be optimistic. I think Andy Dalton at his height today, it's probably, like we said, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah.
So the difference between, let's say, an average of 7 and an average of 13, it's meaningful, no doubt about it. But it is inches we're talking about. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't sign Dak. It means the idea that the Dallas Cowboys do not have a backup plan where they had no backup plan before. They have a backup plan. Andy Dalton is potentially not that much worse than Dak. And I get it. There's a chance something's happened to Dalton that last year represented that we have no idea and that it just will continue. And if so, okay. But when you're getting them for $3 million, whereas we just said Rivers, 25. I mean, Brissett, $16 million. Jacoby Brissett, for five times as much, or Andy Dalton? Jacoby Brissett's never had a year that's come close to Andy Dalton's, like,
no,
fourth best year. Mariota, like we said, you go in and you look at someone like Nathan Peterman, who might be the poster child of bad quarterback play. Let's be candid. $2.1 million. So for $900,000 more, you get Andy Dalton. I mean, this is one of the great signings the Cowboys or any team has done, in my opinion. And I don't understand why Andy Dalton took the deal. Unless he's got enough money, he doesn't care anymore. And he just wanted to play for Dallas. Because remember, TCU grew up in Texas. I mean, other than he just wanted to play for the Blue Star, can you think of any reason why Andy Dalton took this deal? Because you know there were better deals out there.
Yeah, I think there's probably a better opportunity to play if he goes to Jacksonville and reunites with his former head coach in Jay Gruden, or former offensive coordinator, yeah, rather, in Jay Gruden. But I think that Andy Dalton's thinking was, best case scenario, there's a sliver of hope that something goes wrong with Dak and the Dallas Cowboys and he gets an opportunity to play. And worst case scenario, at least he's back close to home, making a little bit of money and a Dallas Cowboy backup. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but except he didn't have to have the worst case. Meaning, I think he would have been 50% to start at least. That's an interesting question. If he went to Jacksonville, what were the odds that he would start at least 8 games on the year with, obviously the stash being the option? Let's be candid, a 6th-round pick. History says that the second year is not kind to those kind of, the guys with those pedigree, that type of pedigree. It just strikes me that if there wasn't, and here's what we'll do for the commercial, is say the following. I'm going to tell you exactly, put the whole case together. Now we've established Dalton's viable and a great signing. the question is, what does it mean for the Dak situation? And I believe if you look at it from Dalton's side, is that if he hasn't been whispered something that says there's a heck of a chance that Dak won't be here in 2021, he'll be here this year, he won't be there in 2021, come on down. Unless Dalton believed that, it doesn't make sense that he made this signing when he had a better chance to start at other places and likely more money at other places. We'll explain that when we get back.
That's coming up next. But first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Outta Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get back into the discussion about the threat at quarterback in Dallas.
Yeah, and I tell you, I think when this is laid out, and it'll be within 5 minutes or so, it's going to be hard to say that Dak coming back is a sure thing. I think it's far from it. And again, I'm talking about 2021. I think he's going to play on the franchise tag, come in late, and we'll see. Great day to join us. You can tell us what you think also on Twitter at any time, at RJ in Vegas. And this is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. And Fox Sports Radio is breaking records, Jonas. You see some of these numbers?
Yeah, huge.
I think obviously people miss sports. They're reaching out to just hear some talk about it. Get ready when it comes back. And also, when you're locked in the house, that radio calls you like the sweet call of it. So the fact that this network is doing so well makes me proud, because I think it literally is a dream team of talent here. What's your shift on the weekend? What's the overnight
shift?
Well,
there's many shifts.
Yeah, but the overnight, that's the one that's truly your heart is into.
11 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Yeah,
Pacific
I think
time,
that's
Friday
one of the strongest
Saturday.
Times on the network myself. That's what I think, and it's RJ's personal opinion. And you can listen to that and everything really on foxsportsradio.com. That's one of the options. There's many of them. We talk about them every day. Here in Las Vegas, on the Strip, 91 degrees, neon still off, and I'm getting sick of it.
So, RJ, the Dallas Cowboys made a move at quarterback. Andy Dalton has been brought in, a one-year deal for $3 million. Incentives, including a Super Bowl, could total the contract up to $7 million. But nonetheless, it does raise the interesting conversation of whether or not Andy Dalton is a threat to Dak Prescott.
I don't think he's any threat to Dak Prescott, but I think it gives Dallas a lot of leverage. By the way, last thing on how good the Andy Dalton deal was, Andy Dalton, $3 million. A.J. McCarron, $4 million. Enough said. I could have just ended with that. And then you look at the stats. I kind of threw out some generic stuff. Let's get more specific. And Dan Orlowski had this on Twitter. He laid it all out. Dak's first 4 years, 64% completion percentage. Dalton was a 62%. So it's like, okay, the NFL has gotten easier to pass by a pretty decent amount. So if anything, that is probably slight advantage Dalton. But let's call it a toss-up. By the way, number of wins. Now, this is Cincinnati versus Dallas. Dak's first 4 years, 40 wins. Dalton's first four, 40 wins. And actually one less loss, one tie. So Andy Dalton had a better record his first 4 years than Dak Prescott. Then finally, how many years did you make the playoffs? Dak 2, Andy Dalton 4. Better there. So it's like 16,000 yards for Dak, 15,000 yards for Andy Dalton. Again, adjust a little for the difficulty. I don't know how Dak Prescott's somehow better. He's not. He's not, by at least he wasn't better than Dalton the first 4 years. The question becomes, does Dak have a potential more physical talent and a sharper trend line up potentially? Maybe. I think probably, actually. But it's close. But let's go to Dak and talk about what it meant when he couldn't sign this contract, when let's say Dallas couldn't get the deal done or Dak didn't let the deal happen. Who knows? But would you agree with me, Jonas, that one of the reasons that quarterbacks re-sign so often with the team they're with, and if you really think about what are the examples of a quarterback that was top 10 leaving his team in the last 10 years, obviously Peyton Manning jumps out, but it was a very unique situation with Andrew Luck and his injury.
Yeah.
Obviously Kirk Cousins, you could make the case as top 10. I don't, you know, let's call that one a close call. Who else?
I can't think of any just off the top of my head.
I mean, we could, obviously Breeze comes up in a way. I mean, it's been more than 10 years, but obviously he was really hurt to the point Miami couldn't pass him on the physical. So just the idea of, you know, a Deshaun Watson just leaving after 5 years, the idea of a Dak just leaving after 5 years, or in this case, it would be five with the franchise tag, it doesn't happen. Why not, though? Because in the NBA, the home team has an advantage. They can have the extra year, and thus, if you leave, there's a cost to it. There's an expense. You're saying that fifth year, you can have it. That $35 million or whatever it is now in the NBA for a max, you can have it. Only guys like LeBron that are able to do so much in commercials and sponsorships are able to even consider that typically, right?
Yeah.
But in the NFL, there's something similar, which is after 3 years, you're able to sign an extension. Not before that, after three. So if it's a guy that was a first-round pick and there was that fifth-year option, it potentially says after 3 years, and we're probably going to see this most likely with Kansas City. They couldn't have signed Mahomes before this, but now they can. And why would Mahomes sign? Because you know what? As good of a deal as Andy Dalton has at $3 million, at least for Dallas, Mahomes is making less this year. Year four for Mahomes, he's making less than $3 million. So he hasn't been paid yet. Mm-mm. Just like Dak hasn't been paid yet. Big money. So you could say, well, you know what Mahomes could do. He could play year four on this rookie deal. Then he could get the fifth-year option. He'll make some pretty good money there. But then they could franchise. No, he doesn't. It means it could be three, 4 more years before he got super lifetime, you know, crazy rich. But if you sign the deal now, you get crazy rich now. But you probably have a 20%, 15% discount than if you wait. So the question is, would you rather have $200 million now or would you rather have $240 million later? Most people take the $200 now, right?
Yeah.
Well, for Dak, that was last year. Because he's made less than $5 million in his career. You take taxes, you take out, I know people always talk about tax, well, you made 20, then it was 12, then, but still, if you're left with 6 or 7 million, you got a lot of money, right? But with Dak's numbers, he was living like, you know, not like a school teacher or a fireman, but he was living like some nameless, faceless VP at some company you never heard of. I mean, like those guys sometimes make $600,000-800,000 a year after all the fees. It's like Dak has not. Now, listen, he's had endorsements, but he hasn't had his payday. He could have had his payday after last year, right? Check that. Before last year, after the year before. So he played a whole year, that fourth year. And remember, Dak wasn't a first-round pick, so there is no fifth-year option. He played all that time making a small amount of money that very few quarterbacks will ever accept in year four because they always sign the deal. And I know, Jonas, there's debates about what that deal actually was, but the reporting said it was in the range of $33 million a year, correct?
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've heard the sticking point is the number of years. The Cowboys want it for 5 years. Dak Prescott wants it for four so he can get another bite at the apple afterwards.
Now, here's the question, though. I've heard that on this negotiation. Is that what you heard a year ago?
No, a year ago it was the dollar amount.
And the rumor was that the Cowboy offer over the course of the contract was an average of $33 million a year.
Yeah, it was 31 to 33. There were two different ones that came out, but in that ballpark.
So the theory is even if he goes 4 years at 30, he said no to $120 million.
Yeah.
to play for, like, I think it was like $2 million last year.
Yeah.
So why?
This is what I was told. I remember talking with Clarence Hill, who covers the Cowboys. He's been covering the Cowboys for like 20 years. And it was during training camp last year when Zeke was holding out. And the conversation was, is Dak going to get his contract? And what he said was, the most important decision that Dak made was when he switched agencies.
Yep.
Because he went to, I think it's CAA, if I'm not mistaken.
What I know for sure is on Undefeated or on Undisputed and such, Skip, is who's obviously a homer for the Cowboys, is talking about the agent like it's like, you know, the Antichrist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there really is a sense that they're blaming the agent. Yes.
Yeah, and they have, and that seems like where this whole thing took a turn, to where that agency is not going to take a penny less than what they're asking for, and that's just the flat-out refusal to do so.
But let's be candid. When you pick an agent, that their demeanor, the way they approach things, is part of the, is a big chunk of the decision making.
That's their job.
I've seen Entourage. You either have a Harry Gold or you don't. And I mean, the reality is, some guys are hardcore, some guys aren't.
Scott Boras always gets his guys paid. Whatever you think of him, they always get paid.
And usually, that player takes a reputational hit.
Yep.
And now the question is it worth it? So Dak came in and said, you know, I want this agent, and this agent is the type that's going to cause me to take a reputational hit, but I'll squeeze a few more dollars out. That doesn't seem like the Dak I've heard about. Right? And my understanding of Dak is an inch deep, right? But what was said again on Undisputed was the idea, and this was from Sharp. He said, listen, he goes, Jerry Jones has been very generous, has been like a quasi-father figure to a lot of these guys. And, you know, Michael Irvin being an example, and many examples. And they said that Dak did not want that, and that there's been like a rejection in a way to Jerry Jones and the closeness that he wants with his players. And, again, this is me from the distance, but it seems like that with players – that, and again, I don't know anyone in particular, their background, but, to any depth. But the idea that if a father figure isn't something that was necessarily strong in a life, oftentimes anyone that seems appealing in that way that wants to offer it, it's appealing. I mean, I'll make this case for my personal life. You know, my father was always there. But he's a coal miner, and he worked hard. He provided for his family. I didn't relate to him in any great way, and he didn't relate to me. Right? I wasn't out hunting all the, you know, hunting deer. That's what was a default in his mind of a son and a father. So I think you can have a great relationship with your dad and not necessarily be best friends. But if you're not on the same, like, if you would never consider, you know, that's always the question, right? Is if he wasn't your dad, would you ever want to sit down to lunch with him? And if the answer is no, then it's going to limit the relationship. And as years have gone by, and especially when I was younger in college and beyond, is the idea of someone who was older, who did have my interest, that took an interest in me, I was always super receptive to that. You know, I understood that it was lacking a little bit for me. And to me, that makes a ton of sense. That someone would say, hey, I haven't had this, and this guy's trying to give it to me, great, right? But what I've also seen is if it feels like that person that's trying to give it to you collects these kind of relationships, that it feels like there's maybe an agenda around it, a lot of people will reject it aggressively because it's like they feel vulnerable even allowing themselves to consider that kind of relationship. And if the guy is someone that you're not sure where he's coming from, then not only do you say no thank you, it really troubles you. And I have no idea if that's the cause here, but what I know for sure is typically Jerry Jones has these deals done, right? I mean, Zeke was out for a while, right? But it wasn't that long. When hasn't he not only paid but overpaid?
Jeez.
In the last 5 years, let's say.
I think the one that people look at is the Dez Bryant situation where he walked away.
But it was a smart decision.
Dez. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it was a smart decision. They've been known, like, one of the reputations for the Cowboys is they do wait a little bit longer than teams normally do to get deals done. And I think part of that is because Jerry assumes that, hey, you know, you're a Cowboy. There's more to it than just the dollars and cents.
And he does take care of his guys.
Yeah, no, he does.
I mean, even after the fact, right? There's a whole culture there. With, you know, especially the guys that it's not going to be important as much in future generations, but there's a lot of guys we know their names that didn't make a ton of money. Like, they meaning the 80s guys, that I grew up, like a Mark Gastineau, a Duper, and Clay. How much did they really make? Right? Are they wealthy to this day? Or are they still, if they can make somehow $180K being a brand ambassador, a lot of those guys from the 80s and 90s need that money. And the teams that tend to cultivate that, I think they get a lot of loyalty over, and probably rightfully so. Right? I mean, have you seen that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I've wondered about that too. Guys like Mark Gastineau, those great players from the 80s.
But
I saw
great for a flash of time, though.
Yeah, there was a and it was funny, I was watching this over the weekend. They talked about there was a documentary on NFL Network about the season that saved football, and it was about 1984. Ooh. And Walter Payton was, I think, the highest paid player at that time, and he was getting like around $700,000 a year.
And again, obviously there's been inflation and all that, but if you look at the growth of the economy of, you know, and obviously this speaks to what is a huge political issue, which is the working class have been pretty flat. And inflation hasn't gone crazy, so it hasn't, you know, but the sports revenue is just a straight hockey stick, as they say, up, up, up.
Yeah.
So here's the easy answer to all this. Dak had as much motivation as anyone could have to sign the deal before year four, before last year, because not only were you going to have to defer potentially generational money, and by deferring it, it is now maybe it's going to happen potentially. But what about the injury risk? As much as everyone talks about these insurance policies, man, is it expensive, and man, is it hard to collect, because it's usually a lot of terms that aren't quite clear about, you know, how incapacitated are they? Could he have played again? And I'm not saying they're worthless. But to have a guarantee from a billion-dollar company, the Cowboys, that you're going to get paid $120 million, guaranteed, or whatever, the number would have been somewhere in that range, maybe not all 80 guaranteed, whatever. Now, literally, your grandkids don't have to worry about money. You never have to worry about money again. Agreed?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And instead, he said, you know what I'll do? I'll play year four on a pittance, hardly any money. I'll take all that risk, and I'll also take a big brand hit by fighting hard in year five. I probably will come in late, you know, because once you sign that franchise tag, there's still a lot of, you know, shenanigans you can pull. And I'll hurt the team coming in late. And you know what? I don't care, because I want to make $36 million a year instead of $33. That makes no sense. I get wanting every dollar. The question is, how much pain are you willing to go through for every dollar when it's the last $10 million on $120 or $130 million? So understanding, Jonas, that we can't comprehend choosing $100 million or $100. But in general, if your grandkids are set for life, and your kids and you, no matter how many you have, then how in the heck are you willing to feel so much pain unless it was about something other than the money?
Yeah, and I've also thought about this too. Look, we know Dak has a real close relationship with Zeke. I mean, they hang out all the time. They party all the time. You know, even in a quarantine, they're at a house party together. I wonder how much Zeke has talked to Dak and just said, hey, man, like, I held out and they paid me. Just keep doing what you're doing. They're going to cave. Like,
yeah, but the funny thing is that could have happened last year and he could have caved at the end last year. I'll give you the last piece of this puzzle that I think makes it even more convincing that Dak being a Cowboy for life is not as likely as you might think.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 10 minutes from now here on FSR, some thoughts on the latest episodes of The Last Dance here on Fox Sports Radio. First, we do want to let you know we are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it. With their free same-day pickup, you can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone. AutoZone. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And here's the quick capper on this, is now that we're past that fourth year for Dak, his choices now are simple. Sign for $30-plus million or accept the tender or sign a long-term deal, right? He's not going to sit out for 30. I mean, he's one of the highest-paid players in the league at that point, at that tender number. And thus, the whole idea of get paid early, when you get to 30-some, you can probably make it till next year. So now what's left? If you were willing to eat that year four, that's the key to all this. And so few guys do. Who does? Who doesn't sign this late in the process when it's a franchise quarterback? I can't remember. So this is getting into one-of-a-kind territory here, and there really is no financial incentive now for Dak to stay with Dallas. That's the point. So if there is no financial incentive, what's left is how good the team's going to be and how much you like the place. Well, obviously, Dak doesn't overly like the place. If it's Jerry Jones or whatever it is, he's been fighting for every last dollar, so he can't have any hometown discount, obviously. And then number two, how good's the team going to be? And since Dallas is overpaid by everyone's admission to seemingly every signing they've had, including Zeke, then by definition, Dallas can't be that good in the years to come. They can't be. Because all this league is, all the NFL is, you have a finite amount of money, like a game of Monopoly. How many properties can you buy? So if you get a property at a discount, you can buy more later. If you pay too much, you have to buy less later. Dallas has paid too much, paid too much, paid too much, paid too much, paid too much. And now they want to pay Dak. So what's he saying? Pay me a crazy amount and I'll accept that we maybe won't win a bunch. Or I'll play this last year for 30-some and I'm gone and let you guys deal with the mess. I don't see how it's debatable that anyone thinks Dallas can be any good in 3-4 years when they've overpaid everyone. It's just not the way you're good. Closing thoughts, Jonas.
Yeah, I just think this is going to be a storyline that's going to continue on. And then on top of it, it's sort of a sensitive time for Dak Prescott, who just lost his brother a couple of weeks ago. So the fact that this got added on to it, the Andy Dalton signing, the Cowboys always having buzz surrounding him, regardless of what's happening. The fact that we're going into year two, I thought this deal would have been done a long time ago, and it's not.
And does this idea that everything we've seen from Dak, nothing makes it seem like he wants to be in. What has he done that makes it seem like he wants to be in Dallas?
I don't know that I think that he doesn't want to be there.
What has he done to show he wants to be in Dallas?
Suit up every game.
As opposed to what? Right? Not getting paid at all?
Demand a trade? I don't know.
Well, it's kind of hard to. I mean, listen. That's an interesting point. If it was super extreme, maybe. I don't know if rookies do that. Listen, the beauty is we're going to have a long – I think we're going to have a while to talk about it. That's my prediction. So when we come back, it is going to be the aftermath, again, of the third week of Michael Jordan, and I think it's interesting.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You gotta love it, baby. Gotta love it. A little Big Lebowski for you there, Jonas. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. We're tight on time. What was your main takeaway from the episodes this weekend?
I thought the how he ended up with Nike was fascinating. I had never heard that story, that he was an Adidas guy. Converse was the big shoe brand. They both pretty much passed on him. He didn't even want to go take the flight to Nike to see what they were all about. And it was his mom that convinced him to do it. And then the rest is history.
You know, that was the whole mom part, because if anything, Michael, it seems, had a view of the world that nothing was going to let him change it if he believed it. Meaning that if he wasn't sure, he was open to any feedback, it seems like. But if he was sure, you know, think about it. The guts. We could talk about Jim Brown when Jim Brown retired. And it was great. You know, Jim Brown was young. He kept his house. But the idea that Michael, at the age he was, after, you know, there had never been a four-peat, you know, at the time, it was the first three-peat since Boston. So you're the best team since the old school Celtics when it comes to something like a three-peat. And then you say, my fourth title? Nah, I'm going to go do something else. Now, you can say that's glorious or you can say it was stupid, but it certainly was one of a kind. And the idea that a guy would be that much of a so confident in his perspective, but also when he wasn't confident, taking his mom's advice like that, it not only shows how great the relationship was with his mom, but how great a man you could say Michael was to know when to be strong with something and when to listen.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. We are back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio. And as always, you can check out the show every single weekday on the iHeartRadio app.
Straight out of Vegas!